friend of mine. Brother Qualls and I are not as acquainted as I would like to be, but I've heard him preach on several occasions, and it has always, without exception, been a blessing. Every single time, it's been an encouragement and been a blessing. And preacher, I was trying to think. I think we might have met at East Sly Avenue Baptist Church. That's been a long time ago. I mean, that's been 20, maybe years more. So God has been good to let me cross paths with this dear brother, and we're looking forward to hearing from him this week and looking forward to being encouraged by whatever words he has for us. So I want you to get your Bible. If you got your Bible, hold it up. I want to see it right now. If you got your Bible, hold it up right there. I want to see it, all right? It's so important that you get your Bible and follow along with the preacher. Everything that he does is going to be important, but the most important thing that he'll do is read from the Bible. And so I want you to get your Bible and listen to this dear brother, and he'll be a blessing to us. All right, preacher, come on.
Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Appreciate you, Pastor. I've known... I'm more acquainted with his brother, Chad. And if you've never met him, that's fine. They're both the same. Look alike, talk alike. And but I appreciate Brother Brad inviting us to come down and be with you for a few days in this school revival. When I was, years ago, we were born and raised in North Carolina. I was the principal of our Christian school in the church I come out of from years ago. And then, so I've been affiliated with Christian schools, things of that nature, for a number of years. And there's a special place in my heart for young people. I want to see God use your life. I want to see God use you for the glory of God. And there's a lot of potential. You hear this all the time. There's a lot of potential in these young lives. And there's a lot of things can happen. We have a lot of hope for you that God will do great things in your life. And I hope in the next few days we can say a few things to be a help to you in your walk with God and encouragement to you. I have four children. I have three grandchildren. My oldest son, Levi, he's 28 years old, and he's in church serving God faithfully, a Sunday school teacher. And we homeschooled him, and then for years he was in Christian school. Then we have a daughter, Carrie. She's married and has three children. She's married to a police officer in North Carolina. She brought up in Christian school as well. She's the piano player at her home church where she goes to. And then our two youngest sons are still at home. Aaron, he's 25, and he's still at home. He mows the yard at the church and labors at the church. And our youngest son, Isaac, he's still in school at the Victory Christian School there in Valdosta. And your pastor went there. Did you graduate from there, Brother Brad? Man, you old as dirt. Amen. What a blessing. He's old. He remembers when the Statue of Liberty was a little girl. Amen. But anyway, that's where my youngest son's going to school. Hopefully he'll graduate sometime or other. He's about to turn 18, so I hope he graduates within the next 5 years or so. But he's a good boy. He runs our sound system at the church and loves God, and we thank God for that. And then we have three grandchildren. And four, three, and praise God, a year and a half. And but the Lord's been good to us. And they sang that song, God been good, and God blessed me more than I deserve. That's certainly true. And I wish y'all hadn't sang that before I got to preach. That song gets me boogered up. It's hard to sing, preach rather, after that. Numbers chapter 3 and verse number 39, if you would please. If you wouldn't, like for you to stand in reverence to the Word of God, stand on your feet, if you would please. Give you a moment, stretch your legs. And if you don't mind standing on your feet, you can do that, I think. And Numbers chapter 3 and verse number 39. And we're going to read some scripture. As we read the scriptures, there are two mathematical figures that I'm going to draw your attention to, and I want you to take note of them. We're going to do a little math class this morning. I'm sorry. You thought you got out of some schoolwork for a little bit, but we're going to do some biblical math. Verse number 39, Numbers chapter 3. All that were numbered of the Levites, with Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord, throughout their families, all the males from the month old and upward were 20,000. There's your first number. 20,000. And the Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. Thou shalt take the Levites from me. I am the Lord. Instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel and the cattle, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel. And the firstborn males by the number of names from month old and upward of those that were numbered of them, here's your next number, were 22,213. Now try to figure out what that number is. I'll tell you in a moment, but that's the other figure that you're going to need. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead. I will give you a little hint. A score is 20. And so if you're looking at verse 43, this number of people was 22,213. So you can add that together and get the figure. Verse 45, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. For these there, for those that are to be redeemed of the 213, the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary, shalt thou take them, the shekel is 20 gerahs. Thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. Of the firstborn children of Israel took the money, 1,403.5 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. My Jesus, I pray you to help us with the message to be a blessing to these young people. Use it, I pray. There's a lot of scripture reading. And Lord, this thought we have is going to take some foundational work. And so I pray you to help us to draw on the warnings of the mind. Touch our hearts and help us today, I pray, with your word. Get us ready for the judgment seat, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Thank you for standing. And I agree with the preacher. I appreciate the church folk being here today and taking time out of your schedule. That's a blessing to see you supporting these young people, and that encourages them, I know. In Numbers chapter 3, a lot of reading this morning. The emphasis of the scripture here, and you're going to have to really listen on purpose, because if you don't get the foundation of this message, the rest of it's not going to make any sense. The role of the Levite, he's mentioned over and over again, the Levite of the Old Testament, he did a particular job. He was a elite group of people, one of the elite tribes of Israel, whose service and dedication to God was second to none. To understand the story, you have to understand the Levite, what he did. So look back again in Numbers chapter 3, and I want you to look back at verse number 5, and I'm going to show you 3 things that the Levite did. If you'll listen to me on purpose, give me about 10 or 15 minutes of building block, and then you'll start getting my mind to what I'm trying to come to. In Numbers chapter 3, there are 3 things that the Levite did. You have to understand these. Verse number 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And verse number 9 also says, thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. The Levite was somebody who submits. His job and his role in life, God took him and used him to be a minister to the minister. Aaron and his sons would be the priests, but the Levites would minister to those priests. The priests could not do their job without help, and they could not do their job without somebody coming alongside and submitting to them and obeying orders and doing what they were told to help the priest do his job. And so the role of the Levite is he submitted. We need those that would submit and be a blessing and a help to those in authority, leaders, and be an encouragement to them. I have been on the road a lot over the last several weeks. I've been to Tennessee, been back and forth to Virginia twice just in the last couple of weeks. Had to go to Virginia Beach to go preach, and then was preached over in South Carolina as well. And so in my travels, from time to time, I have to call one of the church members and say, I need you to take care of this while I'm gone until I get back, and they'll do it. They help me do what I need to do. They're submitted to me, helping me do those tasks. And so every preacher needs that group of people that will submit to him. And I know, even though you don't know me and I don't know you, I know that he has that, because I'm standing on carpet and I'm standing on pew chairs, and a lot of things have been redone around here, because I know he's not done it by himself. I know he's done it with a lot of help. And so the Levite submits. If you look at verse number 7 and 8 of the same chapter, They shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation, the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. In verse 5 and 6, they submit. Verse 7 and 8, they serve. Their job is basically here, they're to keep the charge, they're to keep things in order the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to serve others inside the tabernacle, to take care of the congregation. Not only to be submissive to the one in authority, but to be a servant to everybody around them. Let me tell you something about serving people, about being a servant. This may not sound important, but it is excruciatingly important. You will never be happy until you're a servant. You will never be what God wants you to be until you're a servant. You will never be the son or the daughter that you need to be until you're a servant. I can never be the husband I need to be until I'm a servant to my wife. I cannot be the father to my children and grandchildren until I'm a servant. I pastored Lakeland Baptist Church where Brother Brad's brother used to be, Chad used to be at. I pastored that church now, and it's located right there near Moody Air Force Base. I have airmen in my church that work at Moody Air Force Base. They cannot be good airmen if they're not servants. Our president cannot be a good president unless he's a servant. You go back into the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son goes to the far country. While he's there, he comes to himself. He says within himself, I will go home and tell my dad that I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. When he took the attitude of a servant, he then truly became a son. You'll never be what God wants you to be until you're a servant. And so these here are serving, these Levites are servants, not just to the pastor, they're servants to each other. They're servants to other members of the congregation. Verse number 10. Thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. We know that Aaron and his sons being priests were not allowed to practice capital punishment. We know them being priests would not slay somebody coming in the congregation, but the Levite could. If somebody came into the congregation to defile it, if somebody came in to bring false beliefs and false gods, the Levites could rise up and practice capital punishment and slay that individual and take their life to protect the house of God. I am not for that. I'm not saying that you have a right to go butcher somebody. It's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that the Levite stands. He takes a stand for the congregation and tries to protect the congregation. When the preacher said a while ago, if you're sitting near somebody that can get you in trouble, you need to learn to take a stand. If somebody is a individual that sows discord in the school, talks bad about the teacher, runs their mouth about one of the other students, you need to learn how to take a stand. You say, preacher, well, I'm just backward and quiet. Okay, then don't listen then. Walk away from it, but take a stand. And I know that doesn't go on in this Christian school, but it does in Christian schools in Georgia. Now, there are a number of things. These are the things that the Levite does. But in my text, Numbers chapter 3, these were originally the things that the firstborn would do. Originally, what happened in the Old Testament when God divided up the tribes and the tribes were to take certain lands, the firstborn of all the nation of Israel was supposed to have been given to God. The firstborn in every family was given to God. God said, the firstborn is mine. And then he made this statement, I am the Lord. The reason why he said that, he's saying this, I'm telling you to do something, I'm not asking your permission because I'm God. I want the firstborn. He's to be mine. But then there was a tribe named Levi who rose up and said, I want to be given to God. I want to belong to God. Let me be given to God. And so God did something. He made a transition. He went from requiring the firstborn to be his to requiring that the Levite would be his. The Levite said, let me serve God. Don't take the firstborn. Let me do it. I want to serve God. God's not looking for somebody who just does it out of obligation. God's looking for somebody who wants to serve him from the heart. And the important thing about being in Christian school is getting from that crowd who says, well, I got to do it, to that crowd that says, I want to do it, and it's in my heart to do so. Now, with all that said, remember I said that the firstborn was God's, but then the Levite rose up and said, I want to be God's. And so God said, okay, if you want to be God's, I will let you be mine in place of the firstborn. Are you following me? The firstborn was supposed to be in God's, and the firstborn said, let the Levite take my place. Here we come to the mathematical equation. This is where the numbers start getting very important. In verse 42 and 43 of the chapter, watch this carefully. And Moses numbered as the Lord commanded him all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from the month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them were 22,213. Has anybody come up with a number? What does that mean? Say it.
22,273.
Good job, young man. 22,273. If you have a piece of paper, write that number down. 22,273 is the first number. Then in verse number 13, well, excuse me, he is taking the place, according to verse 13, of the firstborn. The Bible said, verse 13, because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn of Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be, I am the Lord. God claims the firstborn as his. But here it says the number of the firstborn is 22,273. Number is extremely important. Then you go and look at verse 39 through verse 41 quickly. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from month old and upward were 22,000. There's your second number. Subtract that number from the first one. The 22,000 are the Levites. The 22,273 are the firstborn. You subtract the two numbers, what do you come up with? 273. What that means is there's 22,273 firstborn, and God said they're mine. But then there's 22,000 Levites that stood up and said, I want to take their place. God said, okay, you can take their place. That means 273 firstborn do not have a Levite to take their place. Because of that, you come to verse 44 through 48, and I'm not going to read it again for the sake of time, in the numerical number. As he talks about this crowd of people, 273 firstborn do not have a Levite to take their place. And look at what he called them in verse number 48. Thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. God said there is a number. This crowd here has been redeemed, but there's a number, and God called them the odd number. The word odd is mentioned in the King James Bible only one time, and this is it. God called that crowd that didn't have a Levite to take their place. He said, that's the odd number. That's the number of first that don't have a Levite to take their place. 22,000 Levites now are going to dedicate themselves wholly to God because they want to. But 22,000 firstborn has a Levite to replace them, but 273 do not have somebody to replace them. So what does that mean? That means they serve God because they want to. They're not going to have somebody else to take their place. And because they're this way, God called them the odd number. I want to preach this morning with the help of God just a few thoughts, and I'll be done on the odd squad. God has a crowd of people that is an odd group of people. There are people that say, I want to serve God and I want to make my life count. I'm not looking somebody else to replace me. I'm not looking somebody else to do it for me. And it's a small number of people. It's not that many that are doing this, but there's a crowd of people, although a small number, that's willing to be part of what we would call the odd squad. We don't know anything about the odd squad. We don't know anything about their background. We don't know their heritage. We don't know who their parents were. We don't know if they were wealthy, if they were poor. We don't know their politics. We don't know the color of their skin. We don't know their intellect. We don't know their age. We know absolutely nothing about them. But to be in that number was volunteer. You had to be willing to step up and say, Moses, I don't want somebody to replace me. I don't want somebody to take my place. I'll do it myself. I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to be numbered with that crowd who will dedicate my life to the things of God and to love Him above everything else. Now, I want to give you three things about this odd squad. As I said, so preacher, I can't be part of that crowd. You don't know who my parents are. It doesn't matter. So preacher, you don't know how smart I am. I don't get straight A's. It doesn't matter. So preacher, well, I get all straight A's. It still doesn't matter. So preacher, I'm popular. Doesn't matter. Preacher, nobody cares for me. It doesn't matter. This is a voluntary basis. Anybody and everybody who wants to serve God can. If you don't serve God, you have no excuse. So preacher, you just don't know where I come from. You don't know my background. That is an excuse. You don't know what I've been through. That is an excuse. You don't know my heritage. You don't know what's going on in my life. I'm saying you, anybody and everybody can step up and say, I will be the one to make the difference. I'll be different. I'll be part of the odd squad. Because we don't know a lot about them, I'm limited on what I can say about them, but there's three things I can say unequivocally about this odd squad that if you're going to be part of it, you have to fall in this category. There's three things I can say about them, although we don't know much about them. To be part of the odd squad, number one, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. Now, the Bible said about the firstborn, they all had been redeemed. I have four children. My oldest son, as I mentioned a while ago, is 28 years old. His name is Levi Michael. Levi, if we could go back in time to the original Passover, and the death angel was going to come through the land and slay in each family. Of my four children, three of them would not be worried. Three of them would not be one bit concerned about the death angel coming. My daughter, my other two sons, would not be one bit concerned about the death angel coming because he was not coming for them. He's only coming for the firstborn. The firstborn required of the lamb had to be slain, his blood placed on the doorpost, the lintel, and he had to be protected by the blood of an innocent lamb. If the blood of that lamb was placed on that doorpost, he was spared. It was not God. God was not looking over the door of that house looking for an American flag. He was not looking for a Confederate flag. He was not looking for a Baptist flag. He was not looking for any other kind of flag or any other kind of a memento on that door. The only thing God was looking for was the blood. And when God went by, that death angel went through and he saw the blood placed on that doorpost. That death angel passed right on by. Not because the one in the house got a haircut, turn over a new leaf, or could quote a lot of the Bible. The only thing that caused the death angel to go by was the blood of Jesus, and blood rather, that lamb that was shed for him. Can I say this morning, the only thing that will spare you is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not hanging my hope on anything else. It's like the songwriter said, in my hand, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. There is no merit that I've got to go to heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've always wondered, Brother Bailey, how in the world could a man like Korah, a man who had gone through the Passover, come out of the Passover and seen all that, and then one day rebelled against God's man and died and went to hell? Did he go to hell because he rebelled against God's man? No. You don't go to hell because of what you do. A person goes to hell because of what they are. So how could that man go through the Passover and still go to hell? The only reason I could think he could do that is he was not the firstborn in his family. See, the fact is that night my daughter Carrie and my other two sons, Aaron and Isaac, would not be concerned about the death angel. They didn't need the blood. They got out of Egypt without it. But my oldest son Levi wouldn't have got out without it. There are some people get out of bondage, but they got out and they didn't have the blood on them, and they'll still die in their sins and go to hell. They turned over a new leaf. They done good. They done better, but they never trusted Christ. They never trusted the blood. I know about this odd squad that they were trusting the blood of that lamb that saved them from certain death there in the land of Egypt. They were the firstborn, just like the other firstborn who were not members of the odd squad. They were all trusting the same thing to spare them that awful death down there in Egypt. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." You're odd. You're a peculiar people. "That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You say, "Preacher, why would the Bible say," and I've always wondered this, "why did the Bible say they were not a people, which in time past were not a people?" You know what he's saying? You didn't exist. You didn't exist in the mind of God. How could he say something like that? You remember, if you go back and study Numbers chapter 3, you remember that the Bible said that they were numbered from 1 month old and upward. And did you know that they did not count anybody in the census who was 20 years old and younger? You know what that means? If the census took place in the land of the Bible and you were there, you wouldn't count. You would not even count it in the census if you was under 20. So, preacher, are you serious? Unless you was a Levite. If you was a Levite, you counted. What I'm saying to you this morning is this, is that you were no people, but then that one who trusted the blood to get him out of bondage became a people. Before I got saved, I was non-existent in the mind of God, but after I got saved, I became a people. I became part of his family. As a result of that, I should show forth his praise. You have to be saved. Can I ask every one of you young people this morning, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you remember a time in your life you gave your heart to Christ and you trusted him as your Savior? You have to be saved. Number two, you have to be separated. If you're going to be a member of the odd squad, you have to be separated. Now, automatically, you're automatically thinking, oh, that means I got to get rid of this and get rid of that. And ultimately, that is part of it. You're not going to live for God and live for him dirty. You have to be clean. Just like that, Levite, you need to be submissive, you need to serve, and you need to stand. And stand for the things of God. Anytime you mention separation, preacher, you know how it is. People automatically think you're going to start naming things off, dress codes, how you talk, where you go. And that's all part of it. But I'm going to tell you what the ultimate separation is found in the life of these. It is when you're not looking to somebody else to serve God on your part. It is when you're not depending on somebody else to serve God on your behalf, but you say, I'll serve God myself. Can you see them sitting in church, the Levites and the firstborn? Then there's that odd squad just sitting there, and all the people sitting in church, and they're sitting there, they're enjoying the good music, and one of the Levites gets up to sing, and he's singing to glorify God. About that time, one of the adults speak up and say, hey, that's my Levite. He took my place. And then there's another Levite, he took up the offering, and this other one sitting up, this guy sitting over in the congregation, he said, yeah, that's my Levite right there. There's always somebody replacing them. They're going to sit on the pew. They're saved. See, they fall in that firstborn category. They're saved, but they're depending on somebody else to serve God for them. But there's an odd squad. There's an odd crowd, a small number, who said, I'm not going to depend on a Levite to take my place. I'm just going to do it myself. You know what true separation is? It's when you stop depending on the teacher to do it for you, depending on your pastor to do it for you, and you quit depending on your parents to do it for you, and you serve God yourself. You do it yourself. Mama gets up and sings a song and says, that's my mama right there. She's serving God. That's good. What are you doing? Well, that's my preacher up there preaching. That's good. I'm glad you're proud of him. What are you doing? Well, my grandpa's a praying man. That's good. How much are you praying? Separation is when you stop depending on somebody else to replace you and you start doing it yourself and serving God of your own volition. I want to say this morning that I do not believe God has grandchildren. You never find in the Bible God is a granddaddy. So, preacher, what do you mean by that? You serve God yourself. You don't serve him through your parents. You have to have a relationship with God yourself. You can't have a relationship with God vicariously through somebody else. Your parents will influence you. Your school will influence you. Your pastor will influence you. Your teachers will influence you. But you cannot have a relationship with God through them directly and through them vicariously. You have to have a direct relationship with God yourself. If you're going to be different, you're going to have to be this way. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people." Odd. What makes us odd and strange? Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The Apostle Paul said, what makes us peculiar is that we're zealous of good works. We're living for God ourselves, not doing it through somebody else. Number three, and I'm done. You have to be saved. Number two, you have to be separated. True separation is when you live for God yourself and don't live for God through somebody else and depend on somebody else. Number three, you have to be satisfied. So, preacher, what do you mean by this? To be a member of the firstborn, to be a member of the odd squad, and I'm not going to read the numbers for the sake of time again, because it gets confusing when you're reading about shekels and all this kind of stuff, gerahs and all that. 22,000 times this happened. Give me a moment. I meant to look it up coming down the road, a town close by that would give you an idea of the equivalent of this. 22,000 times this is what you heard in the house of God. 22,000 times this is what you heard when the offering was brought in. Every time you heard that sound in the house of God, you automatically knew that was a firstborn. That was somebody who had a Levite. 22,000 times. I don't know, I have worked in fast food places before years ago in my youth. And one of the things that would drive me crazy is that fryer with the fries or potato wedges, drop it in that deep fryer and that thing starts cooking. There's a beeper went off. After a certain amount of time, beep, 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 it started, and it wouldn't stop till you got it out of there. And I could hear it in my dreams because I heard it over and over and over and over and over and over again. It drive you nuts. If you hear the same thing over and over, your mind will never forget it again. 22,000 times, Brother Bailey, this is what the people of Israel heard. Nobody had to say a word. They said, that's the firstborn. Somewhere in this building, his Levite's working. But only 273 times did you hear it this way. And when you heard that, somebody said, there's the odd squad. There's a member of that odd, strange group that doesn't have a Levi to take his place. Because if you're a member of the odd squad, and this is what people don't want to hear, it's going to cost you 10 times more than it does to be the member of the 22,000 and let somebody else do it for them. If you're going to live for God, it's going to cost you. You're not going to go through life and everything's just going to fall right in place and you're going to get your way all the time. It's not going to work out that way. If you're going to make your life count, it's going to be some difficult times. We are raised a generation that we've tried to tell them that live for God. God's a heavenly vending machine. You put in the right amount of change. You push the right button. God pops out the blessing. And anyone in a little small trial comes to your life, God's going to be there to rescue you. I'm telling you, if you're going to make your life count for God, it's going to cost you. But 273 times People sitting in that congregation heard that distinct sound of that money continually being dropped off in that plate, because the requirement to be part of this small number of people was 10 times more than it was what it was to be the rest of that crowd. So, preacher, that's not encouraging. Can I tell you something? It don't cost you anything to be saved, but it's going to cost you everything to serve God. But this is how it was in church. The Bible said that they took that money, they took that silver. Around the columns in the house of God, if I remember correctly, there were 120. At the top, every one of them was silver. All through the house of God, there were different places that had silver. And what they were redeemed by was silver. The rest of that crowd gave just a little bit, but that odd squad gave a lot. Sitting in the congregation, Brother Bailey, you'd see one of the men sitting there, an older man. He's watching them sing and enjoying them singing, and somebody says, "Man, that guy there can really sing." "See, that's my Levite. He's the one singing." "Why don't you sing?" "I don't want to sing. He's singing for me." "That guy there taking the offering does such a good job, got a good personality. That's my Levite right there." And they said, "Why don't you take up?" "That's fine. I'll let him do it. He's taking my place." But the 273 odd squad members, they didn't have a Levite that's looking for. They sat in the house of God and looked up at the top of the columns at silver that they had helped put in the house of God. They looked at what they had been doing, not what somebody was doing in their place, but what they had invested themselves. It meant something to them, because they put something in it themselves. They didn't look to somebody else who did everything and say, "That person there is my friend," or "That's my mom," or "That's my dad." Instead, they looked at what they had done in the house of God and how God had used them to be a help and a blessing to people. And it stirred their heart to realize they had made a real, genuine impact in somebody else's life. You just preach, that's kind of hard, and I know it's hard. You remember the story of the little boy? His mom was more about the little boy and the lad that had the loaves and fishes. You know, the interesting thing, every time that story is told in the Gospels when it's told, did you know he wasn't counted? But you ever noticed that? It always said 5,000 men. And there was one time it even said 5,000 men, not counting women and children. I actually said it, not counting women and children. When they did that census that day, the feeding of the 5,000, when they did the census that day, they didn't count the women and children. But there's a little boy there who didn't count, and he's the one who gave the food. Sometimes the one you think don't count is the one that's going to give something that's going to make him count, that's going to cause him to be seen. That one who steps up and gives what he's got, even though to the society, even oftentimes, even in the religious realm, it says they don't count. They're not. You don't know they come the wrong side of the tracks. They ain't gonna make no difference. That one that gives of themselves is the one that'll make a difference. There's a story about a man. You got to follow me on this one. There's a story about a man when he was born. Mom and daddy had a sense of humor, and mom and daddy named him Odd, because they just pulling the funny on him, just to be funny. My wife and I, we enjoy life. We laugh and cut up all the time. And so our fourth one, we named him Isaac, because Isaac in the Bible means laughter. And so, but this couple, they're strange. They named their son Odd. All his life, growing up, people picked on him. There goes Odd. There goes weird Odd. Made fun of him all the time. He always swore, when he gets old enough, "I'm going to change my name. I'm tired of being called Odd. This is silly and stupid. Why my parents named me that, I don't know." He got through teen years and he met that first girl, you know, got all weak in the knees, Google out over. She looked at him, say something, he about wet his pants. Eventually, he worked up the nerve to finally talk to her and try to get to know her. And he asked her name. She told him his name. And she said, "What's your name?" "My name is Odd." He always hated saying his name. Through life, he went to try to find a job and try to have a career, and he put on an application, Odd. They'd always say something, "That's a strange name to have." That's what mom and daddy named him. He always swore when mom and daddy was dead and gone, he'd change his name. He wouldn't do it while they was living, out of respect to them. He got older, married. Started having kids himself. Then one day, as mom and dad time came, over a period of time, they both passed. He's an older man now. He's got authority and the power. He could have his name legally changed. He told his wife, he said, I've been called odd all my life. I might as well just leave it. Finish out my own race with my name. But he always hated his name. But he left one final request of his wife. He said, I got one thing I want you to do when I die. He died and she fulfilled his request. When they buried him, they put his tombstone up in front of his grave. And this is what he wanted. He said, I don't want my name on the gravestone. I don't want anybody to know. I won't be called out no more, and I'm tired of it. Just put my date of birth, my date of death, and leave the rest blank. She did exactly what he said. But people would come by. They look at the tombstone. They said, date of birth, date of death. Huh. No name. Huh. That's odd. Some of y'all slow this morning. So, Breach, what's that got to do with anything? You ain't going to get away from it. You ain't going to get away from it. Your friends already think you're strange coming to a Christian school. Your buddies think that's kind of weird and odd. Best thing to do is just jump all the way in. Just jump all the way in for the glory of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The odd squad.
It's all
stand. You can be different. You can be different today and make your life count for God.
Amen, preacher. Thank you, brother. Just leave that microphone on.
All right.
Everybody stand. Let's give an invitation. Sister Shay's coming. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Great preaching. Great preaching. I want to ask you a question. Saved, separated, satisfied. Saved, separated, satisfied. Does any of that describe you? Does any of that